It's been a busy all week, hasn't it? Lots of stuff to think about, lots of stuff to worry about, lots of stuff to chat, and we dedicate 99.9% of the 9 till noon show to that. But then we do leave some space as we ease into the weekend, where many people are off. Some people actually are working, but that's fine. Well, that sounds absolutely terrible. I don't mean it like that. I hadn't planned what I was going to say. Problem, shouldn't be riffing live on the radio, I think. What do you think? Katie McGee joining me?
Hello, hello.
How are we getting on?
Happy
Katie's
Friday.
Katie's here with Katie's Picks. Michael Leddy is a writer and blogger, and he's with us as well. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Greg.
I also haven't had a time to any smart ass way of introducing you. My apologies. Were you talking about theme tunes coming in or something? Did I hear you talking about it?
Were we?
Oh, you were talking about music. Michael mentioned Godzilla, and it kind of reminded me, is it Kanye West that did the original one, was it?
Or no, Jamiroquai. You mean the Jamiroquai song, no? On Deep Underground? No, okay, then
no.
I don't know. I'm not going to say any more then.
Yeah.
Oh, this I can't remember anyway.
It's just funny you should
like back
say
in the 90s, yeah, there was a song.
Puff Daddy, was it? Like one of them anyway. It was either Puff Daddy or Kanye
West.
You're
just naming singers now. You're just throwing names out.
I know, yeah.
The
theme
tune I can't get out of my head at the moment. It's problematic, actually. Shaun the bloody sheep. They added it to Netflix. It's a great show. But this guy, I don't know who he is. Wait till you hear. There's a good bit actually in it here when he opens the shed doors. Sheep are dancing away in the shed. But this fella.
Huh? I loved the movie.
It's in the same sort of realm as Rollison.
You don't like them.
Yeah, but this is a kid's show and Hudson's watching it and he loves when the theme tune comes on and it's quite addictive. But the fella that does it must be hugely talented because I think he also does some of the music in Tractor Ted, which is also really quite good. But anyway, Shaun the Sheep, that's all I've got.
very good.
But what is your favourite theme tune ever?
Oh, gosh.
No.
Oh, what about, don't you have any really difficult questions? I'll probably lean into something like the A-Team or Magnum P.I. because I just, when I hear Magnum P.I., I just,
I think that's a sort of a sense memory, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a thing,
because it's from your childhood. I think that's, because it's same for Airwolf.
Oh, fantastic theme.
Fantastic. So any of those shows, I think we're kind of in the same space there. Favourite theme, if you had to pick one?
I'm going to go out of left field and say The Greatest American Hero.
Well, I'll go out of left field and I'm going to say Hawaii Five-O.
Oh, that's a great one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great one too.
Katie?
Baywatch.
I thought you were going to say
great
Coronation
theme.
Street.
No.
Well, that's quite good as well.
Yeah.
Favourite theme tune, folks, 0866 25000. Let us know. We might give someone a mug if they text in. Who's to say? Right. I'm going to come to you actually, Katie, first. Scoop. On Netflix as well.
Yeah.
Billy Piper is in it, Gillian Anderson. Hadn't seen Billy Piper in anything really for quite some time.
No.
It's a good show, isn't it?
It is. And I have to say, fair dues to Billy Piper. She's pretty good in it now. Like, she's a lot better than I actually thought she was.
She does a lot of facial acting.
Yeah.
Where, you know, she does a lot of talking with her face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, Michael, exactly, yeah.
Good for radio, that.
There's another one does that too, before you get into it. It's Coronation Street. She works behind the bar. Can't remember her name. But someone must have told her at some point that she's a brilliant actress with her eyes, and it's just her eyes are constantly, and I find it distraction. That Poppy or something, her name is, I can't remember, it'll come to me. So this is the story of?
Well, it's a cross between the story of the BBC as they're kind of going through a difficult times and they are trying to come up with a good story. So as so happens, then you have our lead role, which is Billy Piper. She's a researcher and she sort of comes into contact with a fella who advises her prior to Epstein's second arrest. Which coincides with her coming into contact with the palace and trying to get Prince Philip's story out there.
Andrew. Is it not?
Philip.
Huh? Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. To try and get his... It is Prince Philip?
No, it's not. It's Prince Andrew.
The younger
Randy Andy.
Oh, you're right. Oh, do you know what? I was so worried that I was going to come in here and say Prince Charles. Because I've been
saying
that.
And he could sue.
Because I was saying that all morning. I was like, no, Katie, that's not right. But anyway. Yeah.
This sounds really good. I didn't hear about this. This sounds good.
So it's based on the true events of the interview that Prince Andrew did with the BBC about his connection with Epstein.
Because this had been dogging him for 10 years, he couldn't escape it.
Yeah.
And in some crazy way, they thought that sitting down with one of the most forensic of journalists was going to clear the air.
Somehow do it.
People would know that Prince Andrew was all about pitch the palace and all this nonsense.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And then I think he ended up making a bit of a
sort of backfired.
Yeah.
So this is a series.
No, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a movie. Gillian Anderson is in it as well. She plays the anchor, if you like, or the show host of.
And playing it, layers on.
That's two of my favorite actors. There, I love Billy Piper from Doctor Who, and also from I Hate Susie, which I thought was a good show as well a couple years ago.
I never watched Doctor Who, as we discussed before, but it was my first experience. I don't think you have. But no. It was my first acting experience of Billy Piper. The only thing I know about Billy Piper is her like very short-lived pop career in the 90s.
That's right,
But I remember when she was cast in Doctor Who, and Doctor Who was coming back, and I saw Billy Piper, and I only knew her from that Buzz, whatever that. And I was like, oh no, she won't be any good.
But she won your heart.
And she was brilliant.
She is good. She's a good actress. Yeah,
brilliant.
For sure.
I like this in that it's simple. And the reason my memory is so much like a sieve. Normally, I can't interject, but actually, I watched this yesterday.
Yeah.
I like this. It's simple. It is the lead up to the interview, the important parts of the interview, and what happened next. Do you know what I mean? And very little to what happened next. Yeah. But it is, because it's in recent. Remember we've talked about the past, about where they do shows about that are recent.
Mm. Yeah.
But it dramatises it really quite well and gives us the insight, as Katie has been outlining. And the casting is great. The actor is the spit in terms of visually characteristically.
And Epstein.
And Gillian Anderson really does look like the journalist as well.
Yeah, yeah. And what I like about it as well is it doesn't cover old ground all the time. Do you know, like, you know, the story of Epstein's all over the place. Like, there's so many documentaries and all that kind of thing about what happened there. So it doesn't cover old ground too much. You're not kind of watching stuff that you already know, all that sort of stuff there. So it is a dramatization of, and I like that they kind of bring in the whole situation in the BBC at the time as well, because it adds a new layer of like almost desperation from the BBC's point of view, to bring something in, a big story, first to get the scoop.
The scoop.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you did there, K.O. Yeah.
And he just puts his foot in it, you know. Mm. And the lady who wrote the book that this is based on is Billy Piper's character, Sam. Mm. She does know that he thought it went quite well afterwards, and so did his personal secretary. Which is really quite remarkable. And, of course, it couldn't have gone worse for him, really, in terms of his position with him. But he, his personal secretary, the Britain's Queen's press secretary, the Director General of the BBC, they all thought this was a good idea for the royal family.
Mm. Yeah.
And, crazily, it just shows how
seems
out
like
of
it
touch.
Wasn't.
It just shows how out of touch.
Well, I suppose, like, you know, what would you do? Yes. Like, you know, like, what, like, you would be scrambling beyond belief to try and kind of come up with something that was going to fix this situation. But like, what actually
he thought, you see, they thought that he was such a good people's person that all he had to do was show himself to the British public.
Win people over,
And then as it turns out, and this is not a spoiler, it's contemporary. As it turns out, the 17-year-old who made allegations against him, he paid her £12 million without an admission of guilt, which is quite interesting and quite telling. Mm. So there you have it. It's a good show. It's on Netflix. It is called
Scoop.
And it's the kind of show, and I don't think it got a cinema release, and I don't think it justifies that. It's just a good 1¾-hour program. I mean, you're not gonna say it's the best thing I've ever watched, but it's
simple,
isn't it?
Dare I say that for the actual content of like what they're discussing, but it is a, you know, you can just sit there and and watch it and take in the story, as they say. And I think because there's been so much about it, obviously it's going to be a natural sort of curiosity as to certain aspects of it. Yeah.
It's not explained. I'm not sure if it's accurate, but Gillian Anderson spends quite a bit of time walking around with a whippet. Did you understand the context of that?
No.
Maybe the journalist in question does. I should know her name. I don't. Yeah. No, she just walks around the BBC HQ with a whippet. I don't know what the story is there. Can you please wish Leanne Gordon and Mark O'Daly all the very best of luck and love on your wedding day from Mummy and Daddy? Have a great time, everybody. Please wish the very best of luck to all the team climbing Errigal on Saturday morning, fundraising for Children's Health Foundation, Crumlin, Enable Ireland. A special shout out to all the staff from Allegro in Dublin who are making their way down today. Hopefully the weather is good enough for you. And our very own Seamus McGettigan is celebrating his birthday today. Seamus, I hope you're listening, or someone close to you is listening and passes on the message. We're all wishing you a very happy birthday. That's from all of your friends here at Highland Radio. We are in the company of Katie McGee, Michael Leddy. It's That's Entertainment. Keep in touch. What are you watching? What's your favourite theme tune? 086 60 25,000. Back with more from the pair after we take this quick break. All right. Funny enough, we've had three messages along the same lines. Can't play too much of this or YouTube or Facebook will kick me off, but we'll try it. Do you recognise this theme tune, either of the two of you?
Black Beauty, one of my favourite shows.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Okay.
Dawn.
Yes. Did you recognise that?
But I kind of just couldn't put a name to it.
Yeah, no, I did know it straight away, but I was looking at the video and it said Black Beauty. Here's another favourite from another listener. Hello? Here we go. Look, here we go.
Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, Only Fools and Horses.
It's a great theme. It's a great theme. That's
a
great theme, yeah.
It's a great game.
Yeah, exactly. That reminds me.
It's bad that we're cutting off the themes. I should have kept my mouth shut. We could have listened to the
No, we can't because I'll get bumped off social media for copyright infringements. Okay, so you're doing...
It's not in your system, in your database. Okay.
Well, it is.
Some of them would be, yeah.
Yeah, no, but you see, it's not how it works. You can't play any music out on social media at all.
Okay.
Well, you can play a short amount in context, but I'm not going to get into a row with you.
No, I get you, yeah.
So. Two people said the favourite theme is Black Beauty. Funny enough, the theme tune to Only Fools and Horses reminds me of my brief addiction to fruit machines when I worked in England.
Because Dell was...
Could I have 20 euros, please? Or 20 pounds for my 20 pound note? Because I want to feed this hungry machine in the corner. Yeah. Thankfully, it was relatively short-lived.
Line ever. You get the sandwiches and I got the roll. Or you got the rolls, I'll buy the sandwiches.
Yeah, and the best scene is falling through the bar. But yes. I think that's a little bit like the Shawshank Redemption. That sort of everyone says it because everyone says it.
Yeah.
This is when they... Hold on,
we're getting some classics here.
Batman and Robin, that's it.
What about this one? Huh? Dallas, yes, indeed. Oh, I wish you could play more of this. I just want to put my flares on.
You're getting into it. Air guitar time.
It was Dallas, he got it straight away.
Oh, that there.
I thought Greg was going to do the air guitar there.
I just wanted to get up and dance. That's Miloch.
That's a great theme as well.
That funny you should say.
Starsky and Hutch.
No, it's not actually Starsky and Hutch. It is. It's not. That wasn't what it was called though. It was the Dukes of Hazzard, wasn't it? No.
Yeah, yeah. You're thinking they're two different shows.
Are they?
Yeah,
same
yeah.
people.
No, no connection.
Just a good old boy. Yeah, that's the Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah. Which I loved at the time, but I have no urge. Like, I watch a lot of old stuff. Like, I am currently watching Black Beauty and various things. But I have no real urge to go back to the Dukes of Hazzard. I don't know.
Yeah,
oh, my God. We were told off so often for rolling the window down on Dad's car and trying to jump in
and out.
You're going to break that car.
Do you still do that, Greg? Are you still climbing in
Do you know
out?
What? I've got my own car now. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to weld the doors shut and go out the window. This is a bit of a curveball. Let's see if it starts. Anyone? I can't play any more of it. It's the theme to Grizzly Adams.
I should have got that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams.
Dukes of Hazzard. We had that one, and we've had Dallas. Okay, keep them coming in. 086 60 25,000
It's a shame that modern shows, by and large, don't go with themes anymore. You know, they just have
because you skip them. You skip them on the on you know, skip intro. Except the one I don't skip is
Shaun the Sheep.
It's Shaun the Sheep. And there's a remix version of it where it cuts to a disco beat. Like, and I lose the plot to that. Right, just one more then before we go. This is one that was because it's kind of like a game.
Yes.
How do you spell this? I can't say it out loud. Okay, let's see this one here. Hopefully it's a quick start. No, okay. We don't really need that part of the introduction. That's a bit generic. Come on. No, fast forward. Here we go. Let's see. What is it? Nope, it's not going to come on for me. I'm doing this on the fly, you know, so...
Yeah.
Oh, you is it coming?
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed.
Love that.
God,
what is it?
Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
I'm too good. Too good at this game. Too good. That says everything.
All right, okay.
Beverly Hillbillies was great. We should all sing the song. Come tell you a story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed.
And then one day. No one likes to show off. Particularly Katie McGee. Cannot tolerate show off.
Cedar giving me that. Evil Eye.
Okay.
That was a great show with the Beverly Hillbillies. Very
pregnant
funny.
With a drag queen on The Virgin Player.
Yeah, this is another one of those short films that they have on the Virgin Media. I watched this during the week and I have to say I loved it. It was way, way better than I expected going in. It's only 22 minutes. It's a short watch, but I think it's well worth anyone's time and I would definitely recommend it. The framing sequence is a bit strange. I'll explain that in a second. But the heart of it is very good. It starts off like it's going to be like a cheesy daytime TV show. And I was like, what is this? And it's like a kind of a deliberately awful host. The actor's very good. But it's like a deliberately awful host. And it's like, it looks to be, I was like, what is this? And they bring out a drag queen to talk as their guest. And I'm not sure where it's going. But as soon as this person starts to talk, it switches to become a docu-drama. And so we get to see their lives in flashback and it's a true story. So the framing sequence of the talk show is a bit cheesy and they come back to it a bit at the end and I'm not completely convinced that works. But it's really just this person's story. And it's just this person in the 1990s, young fella, and the idea of being pregnant with a drag queen. It's like having a drag queen inside him that's just dying to get out. And it really works. And part of the reason it works is when it was over, I thought to myself, oh, I would have watched that if it had been an hour. And then I thought, no, I think they just nailed it. There was just enough. It didn't overstay its welcome. I really enjoyed it. I really empathized with the guy. It was a bit of a shocker. And I cared and I was like, and there's the good production values. I mean, this is a short film. I looked it up on IMDb, 35 grand, which isn't a lot when it comes to this kind of thing. I've been on a couple of film sets and I know how much time and effort there is for every setup and every location. There's a lot of setups and a lot of locations here because some of the pieces are very short, but it tells a story and you can't help but feel for this character, this person, for like, you know, a teenage boy. And there's we see a shouting match inside the car with the mother where he has put on like colour, not varnish, but you know, nail colour. And it's just get in the house and get, you know, this kind of stuff. And it's just, I like the way it was done. We weren't inside the car for the whole thing. We're outside, but we can imagine what's going on inside. So the drag queen is called Veda, V-E-D-A, apparently one of Ireland's most famous drag queens. Fascinating, larger than life character, definitely personality, larger than life personality, who talks about growing up and discovering who they were and trying to kind of, in the 1990s and just kind of dealing with all of that stuff. And it really, really works.
Kind of easier in the 90s than it is now, strangely.
Well, yeah, it could be, yeah, and they talk about HIV and they talk about just, it really works. And
how
I was
long
like,
is it?
22 minutes.
Okay.
And they just get it over and done with.
Where are they sourcing these films?
These are, there's about 10 or 12 of them and they're Screen Ireland funded.
Yes.
And there was obviously a drive, and I was saying this when I covered one about a month ago as well, and all of the topics are very much now. They're like very 2023, very 2024. Do you know what I mean? They're very much about non-nationals in the country or transgender people or whatever. They're very much of the now. So there was obviously a particular initiative, and obviously Virgin One was showing these. I think this was on in February, from what I could gather, about one Tuesday night or something. Mm-hmm. But they're all on the player, except the one that I signposted about a month ago. That one was taken off. I think in its time had come.
Yep.
But there's like five or six of them up there still. I would, based on these couple that I've seen, I definitely recommend them. And as I said the last time, you're looking at this. It's a guy called the director. I didn't write it down. I think it was Brady. Colin Brady was the director. You don't know who, you know, these people. This guy has done maybe four short films in the last couple of years. You know, it's like you know, when you have a local, you know, it's like somebody is off as the editor on Three Identical Strangers or the Michael J. Fox. You know, you don't know where the talent is coming for the next 5, 10, 15 years. And I think it's well worth checking these out. And I really, really enjoy this.
Right-o. Okay. We'll do one more theme tune, shall we? It's kind of just not fair because this is all Michael's stuff, really. But let's see. Here's this one. It's about to start now. I think. Here we go. Yes, it is The Protectors.
That's an obscure one.
A chance in this room today.
The Protectors is somebody picked that's so obscure.
And Danny even said Avenues and Alleyways, yeah. The theme tune for The Protectors back in the day.
Okay, that was a short lived show with Robert Vaughn, who was the man from Uncle in the 60s. And it was a sort of a half hour action show, which they're quite rare.
Yeah.
And it was, it wasn't very good. But the theme tune was great. Tony Anholt was in it as well.
Waste
from
of a
Space
theme, 19. Waste of a theme tune, really, wasn't it?
Great theme.
It was a waste of a theme tune. John Cameron composed that, I believe.
Oh, very
if my eyesight serves me correctly. Right, Top Gun Maverick. It's done its cinema rounds, obviously. It's done its pay-per-view rounds, and it's on Netflix now. Is that correct?
I was surprised to see it come out on Netflix, actually, because such a big... Well, blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
You know, like so early on. Like normally they kind of take a good while to come out. And at that, I don't know if it was ever number one on Netflix either. If it was, very short-lived, because I think The Gentleman knocked it off first place very early doors. But I hadn't seen it before. Mm. Now, I did watch Top Gun, obviously, years ago. And I can't really... I remember it, but I don't, you know... You know, I don't. I'm not really, you know, the way the big Top Gun fans. I wouldn't be one of those. But I gave it a go, and actually, it's very entertaining. It's as silly as they come. It's typical Tom Cruise, yes. American hero stuff. But it is entertaining, and you know, you've all your action in that. I do like Jennifer Connelly. She's in it as well. She's the love interest. And Miles Teller, I don't know whether you've probably heard of him or not. He's in a very good film called Whiplash, and another one called That Awkward Moment. But he's a good actor.
He is.
He's very good and oddly handsome, I'll say. Do you know? One of those people that kind of, you know...
Okay.
Probably wouldn't be considered typically handsome, but oddly handsome.
Yeah. Yes.
just throw that in there.
Okay.
And but, Michael, would he be? He's just odd.
I'm just sitting here minding my own business.
Oh, he's here. Oh, I thought he went for water.
But no, he goes back to train these new school of
and
fighter
then
pilots.
And it's just Top Gun.
In Top Gun.
Top Gun 1 from there on in.
Exactly. Miles Teller plays Goose's son, isn't it?
I've seen this. I should know. I'm going to say
it
yes.
It is. Goose is the one that dies in the first one, isn't it? Very early on.
But again, it's exactly what Katie's saying. I mean, you judge it in terms of what it is and how good it is at being what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's it. You're not supposed to take it seriously. It's fast planes and, you know, and you know... The odd
testosterone.
And you know,
and they've got a mission, but can they possibly pull it off?
I know. Yeah,
I wonder.
Yeah. And then that one, the one female character that's in it, that you know, like to make sure that she's as up there with all the men, and you know, which is I kind of like that they do that now. But So it's really entertaining, but it is Tom Cruise. A Tom Cruise movie at its best.
Okay.
So it's kind of bringing the 90s into the present day.
I can't think of any stinkers he's done, Tom Cruise.
Oh, he had
Eyes Wide Shut.
No, I thought that was all right.
Did
actually.
You?
He did the new Mummy, wasn't that? Or the
yeah, one, that's the but I haven't watched it, so I can't watch it.
Vanilla Sky.
I seem to think that was okay.
Oh, okay.
No?
No, I didn't like it anyway. Okay. I didn't like it.
Listen, that's the ridiculous notions of Katie McGee.
yeah.
And also, we also have in studio with us Michael Leddy. We're going to... part company with them for a couple of minutes because we've another guest taking the seats after these. All right, stay with us. We've a bit of live music coming up for you as well. But now we're joined in studio by John O'Connell, president of the Lions Club in Letterkenny. John, thanks for your time today.
It's delighted to be here.
Nice for you to come in. We're talking in the context of a cinema premiere of John McGahan's novel That They May Face the Rising Sun. It's on Thursday, the 25th of April in Century Cinema at 8 p.m. We can talk about the film, but first the cause, because this is being run, it's in aid of UNICEF. So why did you decide to do this? Why did you decide to choose that course?
Well, I suppose, unfortunately, there's so much war going on, particularly, you know, we have Gaza and Ukraine and even in other parts of Africa. And UNICEF is a very good trusted partner that we can raise money for that will go directly. And children, you know, are the real casualties of war in these places, which is dreadful. So it's an opportunity for people to do something.
Yeah, indeed. And on the night, you have the premiere and there's a finger food buffet held in the backstage bar after the screening. It's also in aid of this worthy cause. And for that whole package, it's €20. You get to see a film and you get a bit of food as well. Why did you choose That They May Face the Rising Sun? Talk to us about it.
Well, in fact, it was very much with Mark in the cinema. It was the one that was available. It was Irish. It has interest. We have a lot of book clubs would have read that book, and we felt that it was a good one. It's not related in some respects to the charity, but it's John McGarren is a well-loved writer. This is a new film. It's an Irish film. I think it's shot mostly in Leitrim, and has Irish actors include John McGinley. So we've noticed in the past that Irish films draw a good crowd because people like them. And
it's a premiere as well.
It's a premiere,
so it's the first time people will have an opportunity to see it. And there's cross-interest there with those who like the author's work and Irish film and what have you. And you're giving them a good night out. And I suppose, too, it's an opportunity for people to go out and have an evening out as well. But to support a cause, because what is happening to children in this world that we're all a part of, and sometimes we just stand back and watch it, it's horrendous.
It is.
We're talking thousands and thousands of lives, the lights put out on them, gone, never to live their lives.
Are orphaned.
Or trafficked, left vulnerable. It's absolutely horrendous.
So if
people want to be able to feel that they are doing something, and it's not insignificant either, why not go along, watch a premiere, talk about it afterwards too, which is a nice element to this as well, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a social element, and we'll have the usual raffle afterwards and raise a bit more money, and we have businesses throughout the town that are donating prizes for that as well. So
it's a film premiere of John McGahern's novel That They May Face the Rising Sun. It's on Thursday, the 25th of April. It's in the Century Cinema in Letterkenny at 8 p.m. It's a lovely setting. And you can stay under the one roof then afterwards and go for a finger food buffet in the backstage bar. And tickets are €20. How do people secure their seats, John?
They can buy them through Eventbrite if they go on the online Eventbrite and search under Letterkenny Lions. That'll come up and they can buy them. Or they can go into McGee's Pharmacy in Letterkenny. Gerard McCormick has been very accommodating. You can go in there and buy your ticket in the main street here in Letterkenny.
Okay, brilliant stuff. John, thank you very much for calling in.
That's great. Thank you very much. Greg.
And people can go along and see that. And I think we've a couple of tickets to give away, which we will do next Monday. Now, I just want to give a quick reminder for you that you've just got about 23 minutes to enter our €10,000 home makeover and extra cash giveaway. If you haven't entered, now is the time. You have as much chance as anyone. The tickets go in the draw drum. It's rotated and the winner will be drawn out. You win as soon as your number is drawn. You don't have to answer a call or speak speak to us. We'd love to get a chat with you and congratulate you, but that is not a proviso for this competition. So just ask yourself, what would you do with €10,000 to spend at Foy & Company in your home? And what would you do with the additional €5,000 in cash, which would also be yours? If you want to get your ticket now, go on to our website. Can I have guests here, if that's okay? Yep. If you want to go onto our website, you can get your ticket safe and secure, highlandradio.com. Or if you prefer, you can give us a ring, 07491 25000, and we will sort you out. And I guarantee you that anyone who buys a ticket over the next 22 minutes, your name will be in the draw drum. A ticket is €10, 6 for 50 or 10 for 80. And the prize, €10,000 to spend with Foy & Company to do up your house, and also €5 in cash. So hopefully now you all entered if you want to enter. And you are successful if you do enter. Everyone can't be. We wish they were. Right. Let me see. We did Tom Cruise Maverick. What would you give it out of 10, Katie? Did you say?
Entertainment value, I would say 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's about right, isn't it? I mean, you know, leave...
It's not deep. I mean, yeah, we're not
leave,
going
leave
to...
Leave your brain sort of in some other part of the house and just...
Well,
just
I leave it, normally leave it there anyway.
I've been reliably informed you've yet to find it.
I know, yeah, yeah. It's one of those things you put away in a safe place.
Yes.
Girls 5 Ever on Netflix.
Yes, this is one of my favourite comedy series of the last few years, and it wasn't originally on Netflix. Netflix took it when Paramount dropped it. So they made a new season, season 3, and they dropped season 3 and 1 and 2. So people who've never seen it before can get all 22 episodes, the first three seasons. I came to this show originally because of who was behind it. I'm a huge fan of 30 Rock and a huge fan of Tina Fey. I mean, 30 Rock was one of the sharpest, best comedies of the last 20 years in terms of the gag per minute ratio was incredible. It just is incredible. And so is this show. She didn't create this show, but she's an EP, she's an executive producer on it. And it really feels a lot like 30 Rock in many respects. And I like the cast. A couple of my favourite people are in the show. And I love the premise. The premise of the show is very straightforward. A girl band from 20 years ago, when they were in their late teens, early 20s, they had one hit.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back of that hit, they tried to make a go of it with an album and a tour, but it just didn't happen for them. 20 years later, they've all moved on with their lives. They're all middle-aged ladies, more or less happy with their lot. The hit that they had 20 years ago, 25 years ago, was sampled by a rap artist. It becomes a big thing again. And they decide, you know what, let's become pop stars. So that's the idea. It's such a great idea. As they say themselves, quoting from the first episode, a bunch of middle-aged ladies who want to be pop stars. And I think that's a great idea.
How did they keep it going for three series?
Because it's like getting to their first big gig, getting to be taken seriously, getting some songs recorded, and now the third season is their tour.
So and every season is different. I presume the comedy and the storyline is kind of around the situations around that, rather than will they make it?
Yes,
there is
like in this third season now, there is a sort of a ticking clock, as it were, because they've financially overcommitted to a big commitment, a big thing at the end, and they're like, we're not going to make it, we're not going to make it, and you're like, oh no, they're not going to make it. But it's not a thing. It's a character-driven comedy, and it's about, there's four of them in the group. But it's really two double acts. There's two that are paired and there's two others that are paired. And like Summer, for instance, like her growth as a character from being in a really bad relationship and just learning to be herself. And I love Busy Phillips. I've always loved Busy Phillips. Her, how she plays that character and where she is now 3 years on is fantastic. And then Renee Elise Goldsberry, who is a big Broadway star. She was the lead in, I think it's, or one of the leads in Hamilton, and she was in the first, you know, she was on The Good Wife, which is where I know her. But I had no idea. I had no idea she was such an incredible singer. They're all great singers, and the music on this show is brilliant, and so is the theme tune. The theme tune is brilliant. But I had no idea that Renee Elise Goldsberry was so funny. And even in the episode I watched this week, I'm four into the season, there's like an ex of hers from 20 years ago comes back into her life, and now she's in a relationship, but she's obviously tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge thing where they're talking at a bar, but she keeps looking away and making these faces. It's like, and she does this whole, and it's hilarious. You're like, it's instant rewind. And I also find that I watch the episodes and then I go back and rewatch them with the subtitles on because there's so many gags. The gags, there's so many really good gags. I think it's a great show. Like it's a 9, 9.5 out of 10 because it's really funny And I just love the four characters. And I, even though it's not important whether they succeed or not, it's not that kind of show. I really want them to be, whenever it wraps up, and it's never guaranteed we're getting another season, but I want them to be superstars. I think I want that journey to be complete, whereas I really like them as a group of people and I want them to do well. But the show was funny. Sarah Bareilles is a big, she's been a big deal pop star for a long time. I had no idea she was a
And it's
actress.
Half hour?
It's like 22 minutes, 25 cool. minutes. Yeah, they're very, very easy to watch. Very easy. And so in total off the three seasons, you've only got 22 half hours. So it's like a full block of 22. And I would highly recommend it now that it's on Netflix for the first time.
Let's see if you know this one. Get up, gotta get out. Grab
the world by the throat and shout. Bread.
Yeah, bread.
Sunday nights, 8:45.
Hi,
BBC
Greg.
One.
Famous. My favourite theme is Bread from the 80s. The theme music, Airwolf. Littlest Hobo. Brilliant.
Oh,
listen.
What
there's
a theme.
The voice. Keeps on calling me.
What a theme.
That,
yeah.
That one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Cagney and Lacey.
Great theme.
Cagney
yes.
and Lacey. Yeah. Happy Days. Brilliant. Oh, yeah. Monday, Tuesday. The Thornbirds. That's the bit of the curveball.
That is a curveball. And I was listening to TV themes at work one of the evenings and that came up in rotation.
Only you.
And I was like, what is that?
Where were you listening to them?
Spotify.
At work?
Yeah, well, I put it on the background, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not questioning your work ethic.
Yeah. I was like...
All right, that's the Thornbirds again. I don't want to get everyone kicked off, probably too late. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at your
Happy Days
studio manners.
Crockett's theme, yes, Miami Vice. Happy Friday. I watched the first episode of Fallout based on the video game that I've never played.
Yes.
My initial thoughts are it's a bit mad. Probably need to watch more.
Okay.
I never played Fallout either. Tour of Duty, Darren Swaffield.
Oh, the theme tune, yeah.
Yeah, Tour of Duty, that's...
The Rolling Stones, Painted Black. That's the theme tune. I'm watching again, but I'm literally in the middle of season one at the moment, Friday nights.
Of course
yeah.
you are.
But Painted Black is a great...
Where did you find the hours in the day?
It's called spreadsheets, dude.
It is spreadsheets, yeah.
It's time management. Yes. We all have enough time.
We all have enough time.
Annie walks and works and comes
here. I sometimes eat and I socialise.
I heard that. Oh, you talk about things coming to Netflix. Kin's going to Netflix.
Did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I haven't watched Kin.
It's a good show.
So I'll get to watch it without all the faff.
Yeah.
You know,
be interested in your thoughts on it, yeah. So, I mean, you'd be more aware of the real... I mean, it's complete fiction, but it's obviously based
on...
You'd be more up to date. I only know the big talking points of the gangland
and
stuff.
And also too, what's been pushed on ITVX's Love Hate.
Oh yeah, okay.
Which is good to see. It's good to see Irish Irish TV traveling.
I found that, like, you know, I have never watched it, but like, you know, I heard about it. And I was like, oh, it just seems too gritty. I don't know.
But it is gritty. Life is gritty.
Yeah,
life is gritty.
I know,
Katie.
But I just feel like life's gritty enough without sitting and, you know, watching like just
people.
Getting anxious. Watching your telly.
You'd prefer to watch Tom Cruise bomb nondescript planes from countries that are not really
made
mentioned.
Up names, or, yeah, they're not.
Who is the beginning down? Or something like that there.
Because
it could be
funny.
Anywhere.
It can't be the Russians anymore.
He was probably in somewhere like Wales. I don't know where he was. Yeah.
It's like Hollywood violence, you know. Hollywood violence, like where you hear the guns that just don't sound real, and then they always break the glass, and it sounds like, you know, they're breaking and flipping, you know, you know, it's real tinny or whatever. Like, you know, it's obviously not a window.
I know, but in fairness, now if you watch old films, the way guns sounded, it was terrible. If you watch Goodfellas or something, the way the guns shouted, sounded absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Right, okay, Katie and Michael, stay right where you are. I think we have music coming up as well. But anyway, stay there. We're going to take a quick break back with the weather. Mostly cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle, possibly heavy at times. In the evening, there'll be a gradual clearance in the west as the rain and drizzle moves eastwards. Highest temperatures 13 to 15 degrees and still those strong indications of a... high pressure building from the west that may give us a respite from these rainy, drizzly conditions the middle of next week and onwards. So fingers crossed, not just for sun lovers, but of course for our hardworking farmers out there as well. What are you doing tomorrow night? Maybe you want to head along to the Bala Theatre and see the excellent singer-songwriter from Donegal, John Doherty. John's with us now. Hi, John.
Yes, Greg. Thanks for having me in.
Thanks so much for calling in. You are performing supported by Roe.
Supported by Roe, yes.
Okay, and it's in the Bala Theatre tomorrow night. I imagine, I don't know if a musical bonum or but I imagine it's a lovely place to play the Bala.
It is. Oh, no, it's class now. It's one of my top venues now that I've played in. It's a pleasure. Big stage, nice room, nice people usually. It's great.
And it's you up there singing.
Sorry?
It's you up there singing.
Yeah, well.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No, we talk about an awful lot of stuff at the Bala and we have to talk about this, that and the other and it's complicated. But it's not you. It's just people that like your music or want to discover your music, head along for a nice evening of music.
Yeah. No, it's going to be great. Now we've done, this is the second show we've done now this year. We did one in Dublin in Smock Alley Theatre last week. And it was lovely. One of my good friends, Kevin Heron, is playing guitar along with me as well. So it's... Yeah, it's a nice gig. It's honestly one of the nicest gigs I've done now in a long time. It's just old songs, new songs, stuff we're kind of making up on the spot. It's great.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I think that's the way kind of music's going. It's a bit more intimate, isn't it? A bit more. I'm not saying there's audience interaction, but you know, there's a slightly different approach now to performing, I think.
Yeah, there's just an entirely different approach to music in general, I think. Yeah. As an artist, when about a couple of years ago, everyone thought they were getting a handle on social media and what was going on, it's just totally changed again.
I know. Exactly.
We're just, you know, the one consistent thing is playing live shows, I think. You know, that's the one thing that's always been the same and hopefully always will be the same, you know.
Right, so what time's the gig start at tomorrow night?
The gig doors are at 7:30 and Roe is on at 8:00.
Brilliant stuff. And then you're coming up there after.
I'll be on after.
We'll talk a little bit more about it. We're going to hear you perform Feel Alive.
Yes.
Okay. Now, John's a musician. He's a superb professional. But as we know, musicians always are concerned about singing in the morning and then they always sound great.
Yeah, and it's nearly noon and I'm
know,
like, you know,
I
it's more.
I can't drag this out any longer for you. But I suppose you're conditioned to building up to the nighttime performances and stuff.
It's a funny one. Over the years, I've had different notions about, you know, warm-ups and how to get your voice ready and doing the things and not doing, you know, not drinking and drinking. And then, honestly... It's like a gamble every time. You never know what's going to come out like.
And I think too, to some extent, unless you're predisposed to vocal cord easily damaged or infection or something, you're going to be.
You definitely build it up. I think if you're doing a lot of shows, your voice gets a lot stronger. It's the only one thing I have noticed.
It's a muscle of sorts. Okay, yeah. John Doherty is live tomorrow night in the Bala Theatre in Bala Buffet, and he's live with me right now, and he's going to sing his track "Feel Alive" live in studio.
Tell me, are you living or just doing your best to survive? Have you started healing or still not found the time? We all heard the news on the radio talking about all the rain and the big winds coming. I've got a mind just to let it go, stay here with you, skipping stones and a place we could call on. You feel alive, you got your own little piece of paradise. How could you say that it doesn't feel right now? So hey now, don't you let this go. Life wasn't easy and it's starting to show. And she gave up on love a long time ago, but she's trying. Oh, do you remember? We were just living for those Friday nights, kissing and fighting. But I think that we almost got it right. We all heard the news on the radio, the talking about all the rain and the big winds coming. I've got a mind just to let it go, stay here with you, skipping stones and a place we could call home. Got your own little piece of paradise. How could you say that it doesn't feel right now? And hey now, don't you let this go. Life wasn't easy and it's starting to show. And she Gave up on love a long time ago, but she's trying. And we all heard the news on the radio. They're talking about all the rain and the big winds coming. I've got a mind just to let it go. Stay here with you, skipping stones, and a place we could call home. So hey, now don't you feel alive? You got your own little piece of paradise. How could you say that it doesn't feel right now? Starting a show, and she gave up on love a long time ago, but she's trying. So hey, now don't you feel alive? And hey, now don't you feel alive?
Brilliant, as always. And just as a point of clarification, before that song started, I was talking about increased high pressure and brighter weather, not rain and wind. So it must have been RTE you were listening to as you wrote that song, John. It wouldn't be me. Far too positive an outlook. Are plans in place for the summer, John? Have you a busy year ahead? Or?
Yeah, I have a busy year of a bit of travelling and gigs that are I'm about to announce.
Brilliant.
In different places. And,
foreign.
Out foreign. Doing some different stuff, and I'll be recording and releasing some stuff over the summer as well, and doing some more shows towards the end of the year.
Brilliant. It's but, exciting. Are you enjoying it?
Loving it. One of the biggest things I'm doing this year is I've challenged myself to write 100 songs.
Right.
Not all for me, for other artists and for and with other songwriters and stuff, but I'm on song number 25, so if you're quick at maths, I'm a wee bit behind at
yeah,
the moment.
That's right. Well, just a wee bit.
But yeah, it's been great. It's because I've been co-writing with people every week, and it's been great.
John, listen, the best of luck with the year ahead. Thanks so much for calling in to us.
Thank
you can
you.
See John Doherty performing live tomorrow night in the Bala Theatre. That's Saturday the 13th of April, supported by Roe. Doors open at 7:30, curtain up for Roe at 8, and that's followed then by John. John, thanks so much indeed.
No bother.
Thanks to Katie, thanks to Michael, thanks to all of you. We're back with you on Monday. John Bresson's up around the Northwest next.